The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy
with Nissan
on News Talk.
We will kick things off, though, as always, with our afternoon update, catching you up on all that has happened today. David Hall is the CEO of iCare Housing and Lifeline Ambulance Services, and Becca Fisher, journalist with Extra.ie, both with me. And we might stick with the Oscars, given it's such a good news story. You both, well, Becca, you told me you stayed up.
I stayed up, yeah.
David, even worse, you went to bed and got up to watch it. Hardcore.
Yeah, but like there's rare occasions. I think everyone today has given everyone a lift from this morning. For anyone listening this morning to listen, there was an expectation there. He won the Oscars, great. And I think his statement then of being a proud Irishman on stage, coupled it all off. And I think for many people who saw that this morning, whatever time they got up at and saw it and replayed in all the news bulletins, gave everyone a massive lift today. And apart from him being a very, very nice guy, it's a massive monumental moment for somebody who's born on the island. I know Cork people claim today, people tried to segregate the rest of the country today. I saw everyone trying to cut off Cork, not for the first time, but they really went to town today trying to say, well, he's from Cork. Yeah, but, and other people I saw online saying, well, is Cork not in Ireland? And thankfully they had to be diplomatically reminded, yes, Cork is in Ireland, lads. You don't have any exclusivity on Cillian Murphy. But I think it was a phenomenal moment for everybody and really a proud moment for him and his family. And obviously the movie is a spectacular production. But ultimately, I think it was a really, really proud moment today in amongst all the chaos of the weekend and stuff, just to have that little bit of legitimate expectation and for it to come through and to see him win.
Yeah, I mean, because last year, and I don't want to kind of turn this into a downer, but we had such high hopes maybe for Banshees. There were so many nominees last year. And listen, the island of Ireland didn't go home entirely empty handed. It was a great honour for them all to be nominated. But it is nice to go home, isn't it, Becca, with one of the big awards.
Lovely. And also, we can't forget, you know,
why they're all there, let's be honest.
We can't forget the Poor Things crew as well. Element Pictures just doing absolutely incredible work. It shows like Ireland may be talented in front of the camera, but we're also absolutely class behind it as well. And I think it's a nice little boost for us. It's a nice little boost for the, you know, the entertainment sector, the arts sector, but also a little push to be like, look, we're pushing out talent in every corner, in every realm of the film industry. Maybe a little bit of extra money, a little bit extra something, something for them wouldn't go amiss. I mean, it's kind of one of our biggest exports at the moment, and it's bringing in a lot of business to Ireland. And everybody is just eating up Irish actors, Irish talent, Irish films. So maybe that's a little something we can look at next year, just funding more of that and making it absolutely our biggest thing.
I think you're right. The Poor Things was a huge success. Huge.
Yes,
and everybody, I think myself included, many people are ignorant to their existence and the background work that was done and the different awards they got. I think it was spectacular for all of the whole sector and the industry. And I think Cillian Murphy, I know, in a question he was asked, he didn't answer it, but when he was asked by Henry in News Talk, he did say, you know, maybe a little bit more needs to be looked at in relation to the sector. And he's right. This is a very small sector, very, very powerful sector.
Yeah.
And if we look at how much we spend on Paddy's Weekend and Paddy's festivals and stuff like this, this is a monumental return for big, for not just filming here.
Well, we're going to be chatting to Jim Sheridan later, who I know kind of credits Michael D. Higgins actually with kind of getting the ball rolling a lot in terms of kind of creating the environment and getting kind of investment up and going for a lot of the arts industry in this country back in the 1980s. We're going to speak about Michael D. Higgins in a few minutes' time here in the afternoon update. Something completely different. Well, yeah, exactly. You're a huge fan of his work today. I know that, David. But before any of that, Henry McKean is with us live from Hollywood, Los Angeles. Where else would Henry McKean be? Henry, what time is it there?
Kieran, good morning. Good morning from Hollywood. It's 9 a.m. and the party is still going on here in LA. It's fantastic. It really is a dream.
So the mood is good still? Fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, it's brilliant. And I know you were talking about Cillian Murphy there and about, you know, him celebrating and what a humble man he is and what a, you know, brilliant award to win this guy, the first ever Irish-born man to win it. I got to watch the Oscars at a watch party. I had a special type of accreditation, which meant that I was outside the room, but I was transferred into the press conference. And this is what happened.
Apologies, we have one final question. It's virtual, if you can look at the camera.
Oh, I see.
From
okay.
News Talk Irish Radio.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Hi, Cillian.
Ah.
Henry McKean here from News Talk Radio Ireland, coming from a pool top bar celebrating you. Congratulations.
Good for you.
I just wanted to ask you
Are you going to sing a rebel song? And how does it feel to be the first Irish-born man to win Best Actor?
Well, it's really, really meaningful to me. And I don't know if I said this in my speech because I can't remember what I said, but I did want to say, you know, that I think in Ireland, you know, we're really great at supporting artists, and I think we need to continue to support artists and the next generation of actor and director. I think that's vitally important. That's all I have to say, really.
Congratulations.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Congratulations.
My favourite bit of that whole clip, Henry, was when he was told, you know, look at the camera. Okay, right. The Muse Talk goes, okay, yeah. And then when you said, Killian, and he goes, ah. When the penny drops, it's Henry McKean. I know that voice. Everyone knows that voice. They know it in Hollywood, Henry. Yeah. What else did Ireland win last night?
Yeah, I mean, O'Connell Street is celebrating too with Poor Things, Element Pictures, Four Gongs, Makeup, Hairstyling, Production Design, and Emma Stone winning for Best Actress. There was an amazing Universal party, Soho House. There were many after parties. I went to the Robbie Ryan one, who was nominated for Best Cinematography. And the industry, the Irish and American industry, is celebrating.
Amazing. Cillian Murphy has won an Oscar. So it's, I mean, obviously, Irishman has won Best Male tonight, so couldn't be happier.
Hi, I'm Andy Cole, the gaffer on Poor Things. It was an actual pleasure to make it, you know.
I am so excited, especially for the production design and costume teams.
I'm so excited for them. It was such a creative and unique movie. I mean, there's just has never been a movie like Poor Things. It was a great night for Ireland, and this is not surprising at all. I mean, the Irish have had an incredible history of art, and this is just another step in it. But this movie was truly impressive, very, very creative. Oppenheimer was a masterpiece. Cillian Murphy, his performance was a masterpiece, and so it was 100% deserved.
How did you feel about Cillian Murphy winning Best Actor, first Irish-born male to do so in the history of the Oscars?
Yeah, it's great. I love seeing a character actor finally get a lead role and crush it.
I am so excited and so thrilled for him. He's worked so hard. He's done the most amazing work. Absolutely magnificent. And those cheekbones.
Oh, well, listen, I suspect Henry McKean hasn't been to bed yet. So, Henry, thank you very, very much. And we will let you get some well-deserved rest and fair play for all your work. I should say that our coverage and Henry's coverage of the Oscars is brought to you by Aer Lingus, flying the Irish film talent to Hollywood. David Hall and Becca Fisher are both still with me. Listen, the mood of national celebration will continue, so we might move on for the moment, though. We're going to come back to this a little bit later. Like I say, I mentioned Jim Sheridan. We're going to speak to other actors who have been on set with Cillian Murphy back at the early days of his career and when he has hit those heady heights. So lots of people to catch up with between now and 7 o'clock. Let's talk about the other kind of thing that sounds like a Hollywood drama, but it's actually the royal family, Becca.
Ooh, I am obsessed with this.
Are you really?
I really am, because okay. You know, there's been this entire...
Have you been obsessed since the start, since she went into hospital?
So since Kate went into hospital and then they announced...
Like, what work is she getting done?
Well, I was like, you know, we're thinking, is it a facelift BBL? I don't know what's happening here, but I just, you know, we're not entitled to anything in regards to her health. So at that point, I was like, I'll take a step away. But then there's months passing and no sighting of the royal family, and they are under so much scrutiny every day. So surely someone has seen her. And then obviously the conspiracy theorists came out and were online just absolutely baffled at her whereabouts. She's gone missing. She's been replaced. She's in God knows where. And today just tops it off. I myself thought that maybe they would have had a little bit more damage control or been a bit more prepared given the conspiracy theories shrouding her whereabouts. But apparently not. They were like, oh, let's just facetune a brutally poorly taken image and put it out on the Instagram, because what else do we need?
So this is the photograph of Kate with the kids, yeah. Kind of on a terrace. And what did they do to it? I couldn't understand what the actual photoshopping was.
So essentially it's meant to be kind of a home picture that Will took. It's on Mother's Day or prior to Mother's Day. I'm not sure. But there are little facets of the picture that are just blurred or missing or look like they've been like botched. So there's a part where like Kate's sleeve on one arm is is unorganically sitting way too high up on her arm. And then I think it's either Louis or George, I'm unsure, but his fingers are blurred. Same thing with Charlotte. And there's like unnatural gaps in the image where they've tried to like maybe remove something, and it's clear that it's been messed with. But why
did they try and remove? Yeah. There's another child we don't know about.
It's a hospital band. They're trying to get it off because it might say what's wrong with her. But anyway,
is that the theory?
There are so many theories. There are TikToks, Reddit threads. I cannot keep up with the lengths people are going to, which is why I'm surprised they just, I don't know, didn't take a longer look at the picture.
There's a kind of a school of thought that says all of this is really unedifying and these are kind of real people at the end of the day. In broad terms, I can see where people are coming from when they make that argument, but I get sucked into the gossipy side of all this too.
I would agree. I think in circumstances where there's a health issue and it's unclear and we haven't been told for a reason, I get nervous. In all of the various speculation, it's not top of my reading list and stuff that's there. It is interesting.
You say sure.
No, but I think you've got a situation there. You've got Charles unwell and you've got some potential there with the case as well. Like, there are some serious concerns that are there. But I think it is a masterclass in how to botch up PR.
Oh, completely.
And we've all done edits of not great edits. We've all done bad edits. I think there's a lot of sympathy today for her in relation to all of our various editing attempts at photographs. Some tried to change ourselves a lot more than others. But I think, you know, there is a line, and I think it's unhelpful that they've handled it so badly and so poorly. And it is unhelpful that it's unclear as to whether this is a mental health issue, whether this is a cosmetic issue, whether this is a gynae issue, what are the circumstances. And as Rebecca said, there is a raft of videos and they've allowed that fuel. And by the way, the answer could have been, it's personal, back off, or
absolutely,
here's
100%.
More information. But the lack of information has fueled
nature abhors a vacuum. And it's just hard to imagine, Becca, though, like, you know, as David says, we've all tried to maybe do it, but we're not public institutions funded by the taxpayer to the tune
absolutely.
Of kind of tens of millions of euro, even more probably. It's remarkable that this image saw the light of day.
See,
you would imagine, like in your mind, you imagine it going through the hands of like 100 different people.
I'm saying. They've always been so staunch and well reserved with their like media training, with their press, what they share and don't share. So the fact that this got out there, I'm like, is there a new intern in Kensington Palace who really doesn't know what they're doing? Or is this, I don't want to say,
are the wheels
deliberate?
Coming off? Is this the end of the monarchy? Is that, that's what
I
we're
think,
asking?
It could be a deliberate distraction.
Well, I think it would be a deliberate distraction from Charles's health.
Yeah.
So there's a whole host
absolutely.
Of things at play, but it is unsettling for everybody. And I was in the UK for the weekend, and they love their monarchy. They love, and they want to know information. I think if they were given the information, they would back off. But, you know, messing around with a photograph that makes it look a little bit robotic and a few little gaps that are there.
Yeah.
And then she issued an apology today, saying, listen, this is my editing attempts that were botched. But she said, Rebecca, like, they never did
anything.
Like, those accounts are controlled by a central location. So no one just chose to doctor a photograph.
No, I kind of feel she was a bit thrown under the bus with that statement. Anyway, David in Cork has had his say on something else entirely. Killian is a Cork man, born and raised. It's time to end Dublin rule in Cork. Cork first, Ireland second, says David in the Republic of Cork. Maybe it's a monarchy down there. King Killian.
King
Killian of Cork. David, thanks for getting in touch. Listen, I guess the final thing I just want to talk about before we wrap things up, like, look, I know everybody gets fascinated by the royal family, and I know we're all in this great mood of national celebration, but of course they pale in significance to what we're about to talk about. And it's the kind of the current situation in Gaza and a statement from Michael D. Higgins. And actually just the last kind of 30 minutes, that came through, Becca. Can you talk us through what he said?
So essentially, Michael just kind of came out, President Higgins, I should put some respect on his name, for a beautiful statement, essentially talking that and saying that action needs to be made towards what the current situation in Gaza, that we're not doing enough. It's all talk, that we can make these statements. We can, you know, stand on a world stage and say what is happening is wrong, but sanctions need to be in place, and that the death toll is rising and day by day it is getting increasingly worse, and that national governments need to step in and aid needs to be delivered to Gaza and to the surrounding areas.
He focused in particular, David, on kind of what he calls a kind of a propaganda war being perpetrated against UNRWA and the UN and their relief works and the aid agency in Gaza. This is the big focus of the statement. And I mean, like, he's absolutely right in what he is saying in terms of that kind of propaganda machine. That UNRWA themselves have said this. The UN themselves have acknowledged the reality of it. I can't help but be struck by the timing of this, you know, as our kind of politicians go off around the world. Well, Michael Dee is kind of firing a shot kind of across their bows as much as anyone, isn't he?
He's our president.
Yeah.
I think his statement today is appropriate. And I think it has three parts to it. And the part that Rebecca mentioned is the most important part, which is aid needs to get there. For anybody watching kids dying and malnourished on television, we'll have great respect for Michael Dee today of actually showing some semblance of leadership where others have been asleep, including other parts of the world, other parts of the country. And most people in absolute despair wondering, what class of a place are we living in who allowed this happen in front of their very eyes? And then talk about opening up a corridor. He mentions UNRWA and he mentions a number of countries who have, Sweden and others, who have reversed their payments and are giving their payments are there. But he's basically putting everyone on notice. At the end of his statement, the last paragraph of his statement, he more or less says very clearly and categorically, you have been warned. This is an unacceptable catastrophe of which children and many others are dying. So when history judges itself, you've been warned by the relevant parties to act and do something about it. And it is time now for international action.
All right. Well, listen, we might come back to that statement and the import of it a little bit later in the show. In the meantime, thank you to David Hall, the CEO of iCare Housing and Lifeline Services, and Becca Fisher, journalist with extra.ie.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With Nissan.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.